Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. Romans chapter 15. I will say this, one of my favorite parts about the missions trip is going day to day and getting feedback from the group. Just seeing how they're processing things, seeing what they're thinking. And it was really neat when we flew back to the States. We had a layover in Charlotte and we all kind of convened in a gate where nobody was while we waited. And we just sat there and talked about the blessings of the Lord and the blessings of the trip. And I really wish we had the time tonight to be able to file through everyone that went on the trip so that you could hear how it affects us. It's hard to go to the mission field and live with missionaries and see what they're doing day in and day out and it not affect you. And that's part of what I want to talk about tonight. Romans chapter 15, as you're going there, I will make one statement in regards to Jason saying we played video games all week. That is not 100% true. Justin and Grace's children were two boys that love to do a bunch of stuff, and I told the guys, I said, listen, this is an opportunity. You're staying with them in their home. Be a blessing. And so to those boys, it meant playing video games. So they, when they were probably supposed to be sleeping, they were playing video games. But anyway, I think it was kind of neat when we got to the end of the week, and the Hayes children. I think it was difficult to see us go. I think they established some friendships with our team, and just a, kind of a neat thing that came out of that. Romans chapter 15. I want us to look at a particular verse tonight that's really been challenging me recently, and I am very conscious of the time. I know we don't have a lot of time left here, but I just do want to challenge us with a particular thought. You know, as I said, when we go to the mission field and we talk with missionaries, we stay in their home and we see their ministry up close, I always come back with a renewed sense that I need to pray more for our missionaries. It always happens. And I was thinking about this, and the Lord led me to this particular verse that really struck a chord with me, and I hope it will for you tonight. Look with me, Romans chapter 15. Notice with me one verse here, verse 30. Notice what it says. Paul is on his third missionary journey when he writes the book of Romans. He's writing the church at Rome, and he's sort of drawing to conclusion his thoughts in the book, but as he does that, he makes this statement in verse 30 that we need to take notice of. Look at what it says. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I want you to notice Paul's plea for partnership. Paul's plea for partnership. As we look at this verse, there's a couple of things that strike me. First of all, notice his language. The very first three words of this verse should be familiar to us. Look at what it says. Now I beseech you. Have we heard that before? Where have we heard that? Somebody help me out tonight. Romans 12, he said it a few chapters prior to this, didn't he? You realize that this phrase doesn't appear very often in Scripture. Paul didn't use it very often. In fact, you know, as we've heard before, we can look back to Romans 12 and take a look at the language he's using there. I beseech you, having the idea of to plead with someone or even to beg. This is very strong language that Paul is using here. And I think that it's important that we recognize that, but also in connection with the subjects he used it. Obviously, Romans chapter 12, he's talking about a foundation of the Christian life, presenting ourselves as a sacrifice unto the Lord. That is foundational. It's something that we should do all the time. But he uses the very same language to ask us, or to ask the Roman church to do something very particular. He says, I beseech you, brethren, I want you to notice this phrase in verse 30. Notice as he goes down here, he gets to the meat of it. He says that ye strive together with me. Let me give you a couple of definitions that I want to illustrate this. First of all, when we look at that strive together, this is one Greek word that is actually made up of two Greek words that have been put together here in this passage. So it appears as one word in our Greek New Testament. But if you break it apart, as has been done in our English, you see two separate words here. The word strive has the idea of to agonize. Paul used this word when he wrote to Timothy when he said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I have agonized over something. So when he's talking to the Roman church here, he says, hey, here's my request. What I'm begging or pleading with you about is that you would strive or agonize, that you would work with or labor with me in a particular area. So he says to strive, but he also says, he uses this other word, together, which of course has the idea of doing something as an assembly or the idea of joining, the joining with. All right, so we get the picture here. He's talking about working together with him to accomplish a purpose. Okay, now I want to illustrate this, and I'm going to have Jason come on up here, and Jason's going to help me out tonight. Okay, so when we look at the language Paul uses here, working together, the picture that he presents for us, many times when we use this type of language, we think of it in a physical sense. In other words, if I was to ask Jason to work with me, hey Jason, I want you and I to work together on a project. Automatically, his mind would typically think, okay, we're going to be alongside each other working in something. Okay, that's the picture that the text presents here. So how would that relate to missions? Well, if it was in a physical sense, it would be of this nature. Jason would come with me as a missionary on the field, and we would work together. Okay, so Jason's going to kind of mirror me a little bit. So Jason is working together with me in my field. Okay, you can use the gestures. That's fine. That's good. He took it literally. Okay, so hey, you know what? We're missionaries on the field. Let's go minister to some of the church members we have. Let's go to their home. Here's some folks right over here. Come on, let's go. All right, hey, how's it going? It's good to see you today. You having a good day? Wonderful. Go ahead, shake his hand. Hey, good to see you. Wonderful. Hey, you're looking very nice today. Wonderful. We're encouraging. We're ministering the brethren. And wonderful, the church. Okay, he's working alongside of me, working together. And now we see some unsaved people. And we say, oh, yes. Hey, you want to come to our church? Would you come and get saved? We're praying that you guys will accept the Lord as your Savior. It'd be wonderful, okay? Well, now it's Sunday. We're working together, right? So Jason's going to... Jake, we're coming up here now. All right. Jason's going to help me. We're coming up here, and so it's Sunday. He's helping me. We're leading the music, okay? We can't both lead the music. Play the piano. Play the piano, all right? You guys. And so he's working with me, okay? Now we're preaching. We're preaching. Because preachers do that, I guess. But anyway, okay, so he is working with me. Okay, but that's the picture that Paul, you can hang out right there. That's the picture that Paul is presenting, all right? Working together. He is sharing in my work. But Paul's not talking about the physical sense, is he? So let's set it up. What does he mean? Well, all right, Jason, you're going to be the missionary now, okay? So you go to Spain, all right? Go to Spain, go through that door. All right, Jason's raised his support. He's gone to Spain. Close the door, thank you. All right. Jason's in Spain, so if I'm going to take what Paul says here as a Roman believer, I read this passage of Scripture and I see the language he's using, I have an opportunity to somehow work together to share in his work, but from a distance through the avenue of what? Prayer. So me as a Christian, I say, wow, what an opportunity. Now, when Jason was out here working with me, he could see everything that I was doing, right? In a physical sense. He was right there. I'm being encouraged because I see that he's right there. He's being encouraged because maybe he sees some fruit as he's working together. He sees the fruit of our labors. Maybe he sees and experiences some of the rewards in the physical sense. He sees that maybe he's being effective in that way. It's in a physical sense. But when we back up and as Christians and we look at the opportunity that we have to share in the work, to strive together with, not in a physical sense, but in a prayerful sense, we approach that throne of grace that God has given us and we bow our heads and we realize that as soon as we do so, we begin to share in the work of our missionaries all around the world, entering into a partnership. Jason, you can come on out, buddy. Are you in there? Did you leave? All right, your service is done on the mission field, buddy. Thanks for helping me out. But listen, that's the picture Paul is giving us here. He's saying, hey, listen. He's saying, listen, there is an opportunity for you to share in my work. Now, let me ask you this. We talked about the physical sense. What about in this sense? Is there the opportunity to be as effective? I think there is. Is there an opportunity to share in the reward? I think there is. But I think that there's an element of faith that all of us have to take when we pray for our missionaries. Boy, the Apostle Paul is urging us. He says, I beg you, I plead with you. Would you do something for me? Would you enter in to a process of working alongside of me, even though you're still in Rome? Would you pray for me? Would you partner with me? I noticed a couple of qualifications just really quickly. What does he say? He's calling here. He says very specifically to the brethren. You know, sometimes when we think about business partnerships, right? We think about people who have great qualifications. If I owned a multi-billion-dollar company and I said, all right, I'm looking for a business partner, I would go out and I would look for somebody that's got all the credentials and that's been, has all of the experience and all whatnot, and probably be a short list of people that I would be looking for and trying to get. But understand this, Paul includes all believers into this partnership. That means that every single one of us tonight has the opportunity to enter in to this opportunity that we have on behalf of our missionaries and for, as Paul says, the cause of Christ. He says, brethren, he said, I beg you, I plead with you. Would you do something for me? God's given you an influence there in Rome. God's given you a place that you need to be right now, but you can share in the work. And I'm asking that you would. Hey, have we partnered with our missionaries? You say, Brother Scott, we have probably close to 40 missionaries that we support. I know, and I'm not saying about that, hey, every day we need to pray through our 40 list of missionaries, but maybe we just need to get a renewed commitment about the opportunity we have to literally to partner with them in prayer. You know, I believe that you and I, through the avenue of prayer, have the same opportunity to encourage missionaries by going directly to God as if we were maybe in their presence. Does God have the ability to encourage a missionary's heart? Does God have the ability, even better than we can in our physical presence, to meet a specific need? Oh, absolutely. But are we taking the opportunity to partner with our missionaries in prayer? I love this verse. It was challenging to me. Paul's plea for partnership. We see he's talking to the brethren. You see that it was for the cause of Christ. But notice the last thing here that I just want to notice. And that is this. When we partner in prayer for our missionaries and we get a vision for what the Lord has given us, that opportunity to go before his throne of grace in prayer for those whom are on the field serving all around the world, what is it that we should pray for? Have you ever thought about that? You know, I know, and I'm very thankful, we have in Sunday school, and I'm sure that you, as you go to your Sunday school class, do the very same thing. We always have a missions moment, we call it, where I usually have one of the upperclassmen guys come up and read the missions letter for that week. And boy, it's always wonderful to be able to get these updates and really just kind of see what's going on. And man, it's just a blessing to have instant access in many occasions to see how God is blessing. But maybe you thought, boy, I haven't heard from these missionaries in a while. I wonder what I can pray for them about. And certainly we could seek avenues to find that. But you know, when I look at the Word of God and I ask the question, what is it that a missionary like Paul would have us pray for specifically? You know, there are actually about five or six things that over the course of his writing, he asked that God's people would pray for him. And that's a good study to do. But most of them, at least the best that I could tell, will fall under two categories. And I want to give you two ways that we can pray for our missionaries. Number one, we can pray for hearts. We can pray for hearts. Let me read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul's prayer request, what is he saying? Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, be glorified even as it is with you. You know, I think one of the things that our, especially the Hayes, whom we were just with, I think one of the things that they would love for us to pray for is that there would be more people converted to Christ. Spain is not an easy place. You know, Paul uses this language. He says that the word of the Lord may have free course. You realize there are some places around the world, and many of you who have been on missions trips and seen missions presentations know this, that there are some places where the word of God does not have free course. There's some places that are under the grip of Satan and his devices, and even whole countries that are just so dark, where the gospel is just sort of confined and is being pressed down by the works of Satan. Spain can very much be like that. There are people that it takes a long time for them to see the truth. And even in many cases, with the heritage or the family being steeped in Catholicism, can sometimes have a hard time choosing a Christ and depending on the blood of Christ because of the connection with the Catholic Church and families. It can be a very difficult thing. You and I, when we go to the throne of grace and we pray for our missionaries and we partner with them, boy, one of the key things is pray that sinners would be converted and that hearts would be open to the gospel. One of the things that I found interesting was the fact that the Hayes would have us pray for unsaved, but the importance of mature believers in a church on the mission field. As it is in Spain, when you get to the summer, people literally take a 3-month vacation from church. Yet regardless if they're out of town or not, they just pull out of everything. They say, well, no school, no this, no that, no church, and they will stay home. But I'll tell you, if you were to sit down tonight with Brother Hayes and his wife and you say, tell me some of the people that have been a blessing to you recently, I guarantee you that they would point to about 2 families in the church who have not missed a service in a long time. And boy, I'll tell you, the encouragement that does for a missionary on the field is beyond words. And I think that's why Paul says, hey, pray that I can be a blessing even to the saints. He says that in verse 31, if you're still in the book of Romans. He says, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Hey, we ought to pray for the hearts of the mature believers in these ministries, that they would continue to grow and be able to support the missionary that is on the field. So we should pray for hearts. But number two, we should also pray for health. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul mentions some things here in relation to the physical challenges. He says that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So number one, pray for hearts. Number two, we can pray for health. So physical health. Paul spoke of the physical challenges of his ministry. I think sometimes it would do me well. And as I was sort of thinking through these thoughts earlier in the week, and I was thinking about how I can better pray for our missionaries, you know, I had the thought, and I have not had a lot of health issues, but I have had a couple. And I began to think through that vein. What if I was on the mission field trying to deal with the small health issues that I've had? Well, that kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? I mean, you take the biggest issue I've had or the smallest issue I've had, and really it pales in comparison to some other things other folks have had. But that helps us get into the mindset of, wow, Lord, would you be with our missionaries? God, would you keep them healthy? Lord, would you enable them to stay where they're at and continue in the work of you for your cause? We can pray for health physically, but I would end with this. We can also pray for spiritual health. You know, I believe the devil would like nothing more than to target a member in the family of one of our missionaries, to get in their heart, to create maybe a little bit of bitterness towards family members, to get in the heart of a spouse, or to have a situation where maybe there's no training going on with the children. There's a multiplicity of things that could happen, and that is why I believe Paul says, hey, you know what, there are times that I want the church praying for our spiritual hearts. The missionaries. Pray for hearts, pray for health. And like I said, most of the verses that we have in regards to Paul asking churches to pray for him would fall into those two categories. But I ask you tonight, our time is gone, but I just ask you this, are you currently partnering with our missionaries in prayer? You know, if you were to ask me about a month ago, if I was doing this, if I had to be quite honest, I would say probably not real often. But when I look at what Paul's asking us to do, I see a defining moment where he's asking these Romans to come to a point where they see this as an opportunity to involve themselves in the work of missions, although it be from afar. Will you partner tonight for our missionaries? We have around 40, I think. They need our prayers. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. As so often is the case, when the Lord burdens my heart for a particular text, lays something on my heart, there's a process in which he deals with me first. And I've already confessed to you tonight that there have been times that I've neglected to partner with our missionaries. But I'll tell you, after studying this verse a little bit, I'm determined more than ever that when I go to the Lord in prayer, whether it be in personal devotions or family devotions, I want to make sure that I'm singling out one missionary family that we support in order to pray for them. You know, I think that only heaven will reveal what exactly the prayers of God's people has meant in the lives of our missionaries. Only heaven will reveal that. But only if we're involving ourselves in the work, if we're striving together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for laying this verse on my heart, and Lord, is speaking to me in this regard. Lord, I pray that you'd be with others that may be here tonight. Father, maybe have been challenged through the song service, or Lord, maybe even it was a word spoken in the testimony, or Father, maybe it was something that was shown in the video, or Father, even in these closing moments, Lord, maybe it was something in the text, but regardless, Lord, I pray that we'd be obedient to you. I pray, Lord, that whatever you're urging us to do, that, Lord, Father, we would just do it. And, Lord, that we would rely on your Spirit to accomplish that in our lives. Lord, we want to thank you for our missionaries. Thank you, Lord, that you provided the funds that we can support as many as we have. But, Father, help us to not look back, but to press forward and do more for you in this area of worldwide missions. Lord, I pray that you'd use this invitation time. Father, your hand of blessing would be upon it. Father, that we would be obedient to you. We love you, and we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.